There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Sorry about the end of last hour. It's not the first time a massive power spike has come to the opulent Bigler Broadcasting Studios at the corner of Airport and I-65 and blown clean. Let me use some technology terms here, Yona. Blown clean through our fantastic and very expensive battery backups. You know, we had the surge suppressor backup systems. They're connected to the generator system. So, you know, when storms hit and we stay on the air all night and everybody else is off, we're okay. So we have all that stuff. Stuff, also put it in some high-tech parlance. That stuff ain't cheap. And it keeps, this, I have, and I've gotten rid of some of the stuff. And I've got to get rid of others, but a lot of it's tech stuff you can't just throw away. I've got a pile of, like, blown equipment from that. So we'll just, hey, business owners out there, you understand how I'm feeling when you you did everything right and you still have a power blow through and not from a lightning strike that blows up your equipment? Yeah. All right. So it much more exciting was that the NSA shut me down, like people were saying, but that's not actually what happened. So let me go back. I don't know exactly when I got cut off because I was on a rant here. And I'm in a remote studio today, so, you know, I don't have all the equipment in front of me. So Alan said, how about installing the surveillance system, that surveillance system on the southern border, talking about what they're talking about for the Capitol Police. Alan, I do believe we have drones and drone technology down there. But, yeah, I mean, wouldn't it, Alan, I'll agree with you that it would be go there first, wouldn't it, before going to the Capitol Police? Once again, understand that I'm not saying you don't, because there's this spending bill, they call it spending bill, and part of it there is to repay National Guard troops that were there. I'm for that, and to make the DC police that had to work overtime in that and pay their, I'm for that too. And if there's funding there to better train Capitol Police to do the job of policing the Capitol, I'm for that as well. But moving them into having, you know, these field offices elsewhere, right, as far as California, and then in addition, giving them this surveillance technology, which I don't know exactly how they're using it. Now Terry had texted me, and Terry has some knowledge of how things work in the federal system, said the FBI wouldn't share the weather forecast with another agency without redaction and large complaints. I think in the case of where we are now, I think they would, Terry, but once again, I'll default to the fact that you've worked it. I have not, but I know, you know, I know of people personally that work in that world. And I also know what we were supposed to do post 9/11. If we haven't, then there's an inquiry that they can get on in Washington. If we're not sharing information, we have a division already to do this. It's not the job of Capitol Police. They can go do the, you know, speaking of the investigations, helping out Capitol Police. You did follow the Lego story, didn't you? Okay, if we have, we'll get to that in a second if we have time. The Lego story is something here. If you have a Lego set of the Capitol, you just might be a domestic terrorist, but just wait a second. So this was the text I was talking about too when we got cut off. This unnamed texter says, what do you think would have happened if the crowd reached lawmakers in the Capitol? If funding isn't the answer, then what is your explanation for the January 6th failure? How do we fix it? All right. That's fair. I mean, it's coming at it, but that's fair. Unnamed texter. Like I said, if the funding is to make the Capitol Police better at their job and all that, then great. And if it's some demand from, you know, above that says, hey, FBI, hey, other groups and NSA, which, you know, we know it's not spying on us, but, you know, if they were, you need to get that information post haste to the Capitol Police that are on the front line. We still have the side story of informants, FBI informant. There's one that has been, that you can say, yes, there was one. There's, you know, there's a lot of rumor and conjecture. There were more. I got to work off fact that there was one there that should have known what was happening and should have reported it. Derek says, first off, if you don't think that it hasn't been happening already, then you're just lying to yourself because it's easy that way. And that's what I do, Derek. I do a lot of what's easy. I don't do critical thinking. The only way they're doing this is bringing it out in the open so they can openly fund it. This has been happening. To say they're getting this for that, of course, that is already they already have this. And if they didn't, they'd be idiots. But this at least brings the funding in. So whatever they spent now can be double to whatever you thought it was going on in your end. It's their worst nightmare, and actually not your worst nightmare, but your child's. Derek, I fight against the growth of loss of civil liberty. And do I know do I have ideas that there's a bunch of things I don't know going on out there? Absolutely. Do I think that the Capitol Police were involved in this already doing, no, I don't. It was showing, they kind of showed that on January 6th. Unnamed texter says, Capitol Police, the new Praetorians, they should be careful what they wish for. Are you talking like Praetorian Guard? Okay, all right, unnamed texter. If they are, I don't want to duplicate. I'm almost coming at this from a civil libertarian angle and a fiscal conservative angle. The Praetorian Guard was there to guard the members of the Roman Senate, correct? Right? They were the Senate and the Emperor, right? That was maybe not the Senate, maybe it was just the Emperor. But it was a part of the Roman army, the Praetorian Guard. Yeah, it was the Emperor's. They guarded the Emperor's. Okay. We've got that already. Back to my non-duplication. It's called the Secret Service. We do have a Praetorian Guard, which I want to have. I want to have the Secret Service. I want to protect our presidents. But is that the job of Capitol Police? That my friend Grant says, I want a drone that throws flames, son. It probably is, it knocks it off course if you do that. Sean, poor management decisions led to under-informed, understaffed, and under-equipped Capitol Police on the day of the Capitol event. Park Police and Federal Protective Service made numerous offers or mutual aid which were declined. Who made those decisions and why? Why are those questions not being asked? I agree with you, Terry. And I think anybody in the upper ranks of the Capitol Police, where I think they're the folks on the ground, probably doing their job to the best of their ability. But the people that had the plan or lack thereof on a plan should get a foot in their backside. All right. Ricky's back on. Hey, Ricky, you're going to be happy. Ricky says, we're being murdered by the CDC and the media is part of our destruction. That's me. God sees them all, these devils. Ricky, you know what wears out? Like when you've called me a devil and a Masonic trilateral Bilderberger for so long, it's really just, has lost its shock value, man. But I have a story for you, Ricky. You're going to love in a little bit something anecdotally I talked about last week about people that I know that had the vaccine that still got the new COVID Delta variant, which I wish it was a Delta variant, like it took you to Little Batty or Grand Bay, Big Bay John, somewhere up there, you know, the Chuck Fee variant would be cool, but it's not. But I've got a story to back up my anecdotes for what it's just other anecdotes, but it's still more. yeah, right. Maybe we could have a bipartisan commission study on the January 6th events. Oh, wait, that got blocked. Okay. Why did it get blocked, unnamed texter? Because it was not going to be a fair arbitration of January 6th. It was a way to continue this, to try to use it as a political bludgeon going into the midterms. Come on, man. To quote President Biden, come on, man. All right. So let me just add to this for a second. So once again, the idea that the Capitol Police need to have field offices and surveillance equipment, let's just look at it as duplication. Now, if you say, like Terry says, that the FBI is not going to give them the information, then you know what? If I'm up there and I'm elected, well, GD, we're going to make sure y'all do that job. Okay? We already paying you for surveillance here. This is your job, FBI, if this is true. This is your job. So you need to share that information. If people at the Capitol Police did not take that information, like was said in that earlier text as well, then that's a reason to be called in front of Congress. But saying, hey, that they blanked the bed on January 6th, so let's give them expanded responsibilities. I don't get it. By the way, too, I mentioned the Lego story. So I have to get, if you've saw this, you know what I'm talking about. If not, get ready. Prepare yourself. The end of last week, this story about the Lego set of the Capitol. This story from Fox News says social media was set ablaze on Wednesday when a report that federal investigators seized a Lego replica of the Capitol building from a man involved in the January 6th riot. It was met with lambasting and jokes. The Daily Beast cited court documents obtained by the Smoking Gun to report the FBI confiscated a fully constructed U.S. Capitol Lego set from a Pennsylvania man, Robert Morse, who was indicted last month for his role in the Capitol riot. Prosecution didn't say whether Morse used his toy to help plan the Capitol insurrection. Says any historian worth his weight in little multicolored plastic bricks will tell you Legos were used in some of the most significant and evil plots in history, political satirist Tim Young told Fox News. The fall of Rome Legos, plotting the transportation of slaves to the Americas, Legos of the Battle of Gettysburg, Confederate Army only, Legos, the Holocaust, Legos, I could go on and on, Young added. It just makes sense. The FBI clearly needs to collect any toy for children 8 and up to complete their investigation. Indeed, not just partially assembled Lego set, a fully assembled Lego set. It was chilling, said journalist Michael Tracy, snarkily. Babylon Bee CEO Seth Dillon. I love the work those folks do. And by the way, if you don't know, that whole thing where Facebook was trying to shut down Babylon Bee because they said, well, people were taking what the Babylon Bee said seriously. Seriously? Really? Babylon Bee is very funny, but it's satire. If you don't know it's satire, if you can't figure out a Babylon Bee story of satire, I may want to prevent you from voting. I may want to get in front of your voting rights. The CEO from Babylon Bee said, is the suggestion that this guy planned the riot using toys the way Doc Brown planned to send Marty back to the future? End quote. So, yes, there was a story about the Capitol Lego set, which, you know what it makes me want? Even though we're now kind of post-Legos in my house, which my feet are so thankful for, we still have them stashed away in the little things you get from Dollar General, those little Sterilite boxes or whatever. They're still there. Could come out any time. But it makes me want to get a Capitol Lego set and put that together. And then what if I had the Capitol Lego set when I was a kid? Because usually and I'm sure most of y'all were way more mature than me, but we would build a Lego set to do what? To run like our truck and our Tonka truck. Like I'd build the Lego set, like here's Ice Station Zebra, right? And it would get everything right and you'd enjoy it for a few days. And then you'd be like, oh no, Tonka truck's on the loose and it's going to run through the lake. Hey, come on. So that would have put me on a list as well. So Phil says, my son and I were at Target this weekend. He loves Legos. Saw the Capitol. You saw it? Phil bought by me. Saw the Capitol Lego set and I was like, nope. You buy that, and we're going to go on a watch list. I was kidding, but serious. I know the feeling, Phil. Yes, so Chuck says, as the minister of Jack Daniels, Kanaka sausage, and bacon, I have to agree the Capitol Police expenditure is pure pork. Hey. Yeah, there you go, the beef eaters. Yeah, they're still doing that, right? Guarding the Coldstream Guard, right? Yeah. Well, that's what we have a thing called the Secret Service for that I like. That we already got that. I want to have presidential protection at all times. And we do that. All right. Coming back, talk more about this. Also, can you get COVID after getting the vaccine? Well, run through a couple stories.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, have I mentioned the app, brand new FM Talk 106.5 app, maybe once or twice or something. I want you all to check it out. Go to Google Play or the App Store. It depends on your Android or iPhone. Free download. Just look for FM Talk 1065 in the app. Just FM TALK 1065. And you'll see our logo there. Download it. Free app. Gives you the ability to hit the talkback feature, leave us a voice message, text the station, call. Of course, listen to the stream of FM Talk 1065. Go grab one of the podcasts, making up 55 hours a week of live local programming coming right here from Mobile. Local folks, local station, local ownership, local everything right there. So check it out in the podcast form and access to our great social media pages as well. Plus latest traffic and weather all one place, the FM Talk 1065 app. All right. I want to get to a couple more of these texts here. And I want to get to this COVID stuff as well. True. Chester had texted in and said the traders or drifters strain of COVID might work, but far worse diseases could be named for these establishments. It's true. So not the Delta strain, but the traders or the drifters thing. By the way, side note, just sidebar here. Drifters should be studied. The drifters building should have been studied long time ago when it came to storm surge and dealing with hurricanes. You know, now you had to put on a, not that I ever was in drifters, but if I was, the walk up to drifters was so high, you had to put on like an oxygen mask to get up there. But when you're up there, you're obviously higher than storm surge. We did, storm would come through, level everything on the causeway, and there would be drifters standing high, like a beacon shining on the causeway, like a lighthouse for those that might need a cold drink. Okay? So that was, oh my gosh, Jace. Can I say, Jace? Because that was tough. Jace said, I blew up my Challenger Lego model in 86 with an M80. I should have been on a watch list as a kid. I think you still should be, Jace, because I remember that was a tough time, man. I still remember that. If you're close to my age, I'm 49. We were called into the library. You know, they rolled in the cart with the TV for us to watch that. Oh, my gosh. What do you tell a bunch of little kids when that happened? My heart's with our teachers back then that had to deal with that. So David says, remember the Capitol, David W. says, remember the Capitol Police are unionized, so I'm sure this is a way to help out the union more than to do much of anything, kind of like the TSA, maybe. Grant, I saw that story. I'm not going to get to that one. He said they found an old lady in a wheelchair in the bottom of the pool. I saw that early when I was getting ready for the show from our news partners at WKRG. It's a head scratcher right now, but of course, I mean, there's a family probably that is hurting right now on that, Grant. I don't know what the story is other than they say a 74-year-old woman in the hospital and being treated for a drowning incident. Now, let's stop there for a second, though. If it says MPD says a 74-year-old woman is in the hospital after being treated for a drowning incident. Am I stupid today? If it's a drowning incident, they're dead. Or you're being treated. It said the wheelchair-bound woman was discovered at the bottom of a residential pool. Stuff is heartbreaking for this family, whoever they are. Mobile fire rescue crews removed her and treated her for a drowning incident before transporting her to local. I guess you. To me, when I hear drowning, you died. But maybe I need to check, what the word means. But yeah, I saw that story, Grant. A horrible, horrible story out there. All right, when we come back, I'm going to get to this COVID story here. So don't worry, Ricky, it's coming your way. So not gonna leave you out on this one. So be right back. We'll get a news update, Dr. Bill's forecast, and then right back to y'all. 343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey. I've been doing it for, 13 years now in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And, the junk could be inside your house, outside your house, at a storage unit, at the at the office, at the shop, wherever. You got stuff, it's in your way, you're tripping over it, you want it gone. It could be big things, too. Like, talk to Trey, he's like, oh, yeah, like, we've taken whole storage sheds, not just what's in them. We've taken the shed down for folks. We've taken trampolines, above-ground pools, swing sets, all that stuff they can handle. And it's real easy to make that appointment because they realize that you've got a life and a job and family and all those things. So when you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they're going to find out a day that works for you and a window of time that works for you, and then they'll set the appointment. And then they will show up at that point and quote you a price on the job. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. Hey, you see their trucks all over Mobile and Baldwin County, so get them to come by your house or business as well. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, let's do this here. Thank you, because we learned together. And I have learned a new thing today. I learned many new things each day, but this is good. So from Terry and Jace and Supermom and others here. So medically, drowning only means water entering the lungs. So it does not mean dead. Thank you. Supermom says drowning's not always fatal. EMS gets life signs. Secondary drowning is fatal. That's the water they're unable to get from the lungs, can be up to 24 hours after the incident. Okay, and so referred to as a near drowning until they were declared deceased. So my apologies. I've learned something. I showed my ignorance there, my backside, and I learned it. So drowning does not mean I always thought that was meant someone was dead, but I have learned. Thank you, text line and texters at 343-0106. All right. Yes, so the vaccine thing. I'll read this before I get in the story. So Ricky says the vaccines caused all of our old timers' decease. And Dr. Martin has all the proof they had to make to patient to make money. That's what they are busted, Ricky. Well, it's actually Ricky Alzheimer's, named for Alois Alzheimer, the doctor that diagnosed and called it a disease back then. So not old timers, Alzheimer, Alzheimer, apostrophe for possessive S, Alzheimer's disease, Alois Alzheimer. All right, Ricky. So this this vaccine story here. Okay. So I was saying last week, and let me go back, because people like to selectively remember things and get all outraged, right? I know, and that's what I was supposed to do, just get outraged at everything. But in our discussions through the last year, and the epidemiologists and physicians I had on the show, they did say that the vaccines were not 100%, right? They were, and some were as low, I think, off the top of my head, is in the 60s, some were up in the 80s in efficacy. Okay. So that's let's go back and make sure we keep things fair, that was said. But I'm hearing these stories here of, remember that everybody was going to have to get vaccinated to prevent a variant from getting into the system. Remember that when the variants would come along, if we had these very high numbers of vaccinated people, the variants wouldn't have a chance. We'll see. We don't have a very high vaccination rate around here, but we do have the Delta variant in the mix. And I told you last week, anecdotally, knowing people that had vaccine that still got the Delta variant. Okay. Then this story here, once again, this is an additional anecdote. Once again, this is not science yet, but to me, it says just like situations with the Wuhan lab, right? So I can't prove it right now, but y'all should be looking at that, because that seems like something you should look at. So this story from ABC News, Miami-Dade County officials test positive for COVID-19, raising concern about Surfside site. So this is two news stories in one, right? They've got the tragedy of the Surfside condo, and then they get the COVID-19 angle. It says Jose Pepe Diaz, chairman of the Miami-Dade Board County of Commissioners, Miami-Dade Board of County Commissioners, has tested positive for COVID-19, his office announced in a statement on Sunday night. Diaz's chief of staff, Isidoro Lopez, also tested positive for the virus. Quote, both started experiencing flu-like symptoms earlier today and will be isolating. Staff and others who have been in close contact with them will be getting tested between today and tomorrow, end quote. The two men had been It said the two men had been vaccinated against COVID-19, according to the statement. Although the chances of contracting the novel coronavirus after being fully vaccinated are very rare, so-called breakthrough cases are still possible. Health officials and experts alike have warned that new and more contagious variants of the virus may be more effective at evading vaccines. So, this is a story more, and it gets into more about what they're doing. They're saying, you know, is the site there at the Surfside condo, does it need to be shut down for COVID? Come on. Come on, y'all. This is where it enters into the land of ridiculousness. Let the people work. If they got to wear masks, they probably got to wear masks for the dust and debris anyway. If somebody's feeling sick, then they go home and you bring somebody else in. You continue the work there. But a side note in a story that's really about the condo collapse, but it shows that these two that have been vaccinated contracted. Now, it did not say whether it was the Delta variant here, but that's what I'm hearing locally and anecdotally. Don't know what happens everywhere. Just know what happens around me. Just watch this and don't feel like, I'll say this. I don't think I'm overstepping my bounds in saying, if you've been vaccinated, okay, don't feel like there's no chance of you getting the new strain, because it's worth taking some precaution. Okay. Some more text here. No Democrat politician lets a crisis go to waste. Yeah. But it's worth saying. I think that's going to be a story you're going to be hearing in the next couple days, couple weeks out there about this. Hey, and while we're in South Florida, I wish I had my Guantanamera queued up for my music here for Cuba reports. You following what's happening in Cuba right now? So Fox News story says U.S. State Department was criticized Sunday over a tweet that tied the historic protests that broke out in Cuba to COVID-19 concerns in the country where people have been living under communism for decades. This is rich stuff here, y'all. So Julie Chung, the acting assistant secretary for the Department of the Bureau of Western Hemisphere Affairs. How do you get that on your business card? The Bureau of Western Hemisphere Affairs. What would the acronym BWHA, Bawaha? Says peaceful protests are growing in Cuba as the Cuban people exercise their right to peacefully assemble. They don't have a right, Julie, to peacefully assemble. Did you forget that we're talking about Cuba? Okay. Peaceful protests are growing in Cuba as the Cuban people exercise their right to peacefully assemble and to express concern about rising COVID case and deaths and medicine shortage. Weren't we told by, what's his name, Roger, what's it, that all these others, that the Cuban health system was so much better than ours? It says, we recommend the numerous efforts of the Cuban people mobilizing donations to help their neighbors. So, to Julie Chung, the WHAA assistant secretary, that it's the Cuban people were protesting because of COVID. Now, reports out of the country said protesters were chanting freedom, enough, and we want liberty. But that probably, Julie, that was freedom from COVID, enough of COVID, we want liberty to not have COVID. That's probably, Julie, you're right. That's probably what they meant. It was probably the reason people risked being hauled off to a re-education facility in Cuba was because they were afraid of COVID. That's I'm so glad. I think it's such a good thing for this country to have somebody like Julie Chung in a position to make decisions for we Americans. We are so very lucky to have somebody with that astute take on what's happening in Cuba. Thank you. Oh my gosh, we are so lucky. I'm glad she was put in that position. Never mind, Cuba's going through its worst economic crisis in decades. Still a communist country when people thought maybe things would get better there. Hey, okay, we'll come back to this in a second. The music's playing. We'll go to the news and be right back. This is Midday Mobile. I'm so happy we have her in charge. That's great. Way to go, Washington.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Our guest back in studio, Skylar Martin with Southern Cancer Center. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
I got so many questions from last time we talked. So last time we talked about the genetic testing y'all are doing with Southern Cancer Center. And we started talking about how that can help people get ahead of cancer, be watching for it, let alone give them an idea what kind of risk they have, correct?
Correct.
You know, and we were talking that whole time, and I didn't get the question. It was on my mind, on my sheet here. How do y'all do genetic testing? I mean, I'll say that term, but I have no idea. It's like I walk in, okay, I get an appointment set, I come in. What do y'all do?
You fill out a questionnaire prior to your appointment.
Okay,
is the first step, and on that questionnaire, it tells me what your personal history is, what your family history is, and then when you get into the clinic, we talk through that and determine if you're a good candidate for testing.
Okay,
or not.
So there's like a written screening before there's even a screening for genetics.
Yes, it's about 10 pages long. It can be overwhelming, but it goes through first degree relatives, mom and dad, grandparents, and then it breaks it down further in the family to find out who had cancer and more importantly, what ages they developed cancer, because people that develop cancer at a younger age tend to be more at risk for having genetic mutations.
Okay, well, explain that to me. That if a relative of mine gets cancer earlier versus a relative of mine gets cancer later, does that says something to y'all? I mean, because I would look at it and say, well, they both had cancer.
That's the way most people look at it. But a 40-year-old who develops cancer versus an 80-year-old, that 40-year-old tends to have something in their DNA that made them develop it at a younger age.
So, there is that DNA component. We're talking about this genetic testing that says that person can get it earlier, where somebody who gets it at 80, let's say at 80, did they have any genetic markers for it, or is that just because of longevity?
More than likely longevity. We call those sporadic cancers.
So through this questionnaire, before we even get there, you're looking at, because I'm going to just say, well, Aunt so-and-so had cancer and my cousin Timmy had cancer or something like that. To me, those are the same. But to y'all, looking at it, they're different.
They are different. We actually draw a full family pedigree that can show us patterns in the family and things that basically give us a red flag. And at that point, we determine what test is appropriate for you. And then that's when you would either have the blood sample or the saliva sample taken in the office to be sent off to the laboratory.
Okay, so that's because I was fixing to ask you, how do you get the sample? That's what it is. It's blood or saliva?
Blood or saliva. We prefer the blood sample. It has a little bit higher accuracy rate than the saliva.
Okay, so that's sent off and y'all then look at it. But I know you do it in language I can understand. So when you get results back, I mean, what are y'all looking for in that blood sample, for example? Is there something that says, hey, this is cancer? I mean,
it shows the mutation. So when they send it off to the lab, they take the DNA, look
even
at it.
Even if I don't have cancer right now.
Right. And it shows, obviously, in the DNA that you had a gene that's mutated at some point from mom or dad, whoever it may be, but they passed it along to you. And then that mutation changes your body's ability to fight off a certain cancer.
I know in a conversation I've had before that's the thing about cancer is that, and I'm correcting me wrong, but like the body can't see it. Like, you know, you've had this mutation, mm-hmm. and normally we think about, okay, well, here comes whatever. I get in my system, and my body goes, oh, look at that. It's not supposed to be there. Come on, let's go get it. But cancer can be there, and the body doesn't see it.
The body just doesn't have the ability to overtake it.
So that's why, I mean, everything I know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, but in this case, it is magnified.
Absolutely. That's why we're really not pushing people, but encouraging them to have genetic testing done.
So we go in there, we get that. Let's walk us through a scenario. I know last time we talked about breast cancer a lot, but is breast cancer the only area the genetic testing helps out?
No, there are actually 8 major cancers that we do genetic testing for. Breast cancer is obviously the most common, but you can have prostate, pancreatic, ovarian, colorectal, and melanoma.
And so just guess and listen to those. There's different types of screening for those cancers, right?
There are.
So if I know from coming and getting a genetic test with you and say, you know, it's going to be this, there's going to be a focus on that testing.
Yes. And actually the companies now they do, they do single site testing, but they have started doing more of a panel test. And so let's just say you had a strong family history of breast cancer.
Okay.
They test the most common genes for breast cancer, and if those are negative, they actually do a reflex panel where they test around 84 genes in the body, and they just cover you for all the potential genetic mutations.
84. We talked about this last time, but y'all think about that. 20 years ago, because you and I were talking about that, 20 years ago, this wasn't even a thing, and now the accuracy rate is?
99.99%.
It's pretty amazing. And also when it comes to treatments, we talked about last time too, people say, well, why is this so important? That what might have been chemotherapy or a full on assault treatment when something gets far gone today might not be. You catch something early, it could be a whole different kind of treatment.
Absolutely. And one of the things about genetic testing that we didn't talk about beforehand, but not only is it used as a preventative service, there are different drugs out there now that are targeted based on those genetic mutations. So for instance, if a woman has a breast cancer that's BRCA mutated, which is one of the more common mutations, there are medications out there that are targeted for that mutation, and we can use those in addition to chemotherapy or without chemotherapy, but they have really had a good outcome and shown, you know, disease progression-free survival it's changed with those medicines.
I'm going to guess something. I'm going to ask this question, Skylar. Does our insurance pay for it?
Most of the time they do. I mean, if a patient qualifies, they're going to cover it. Now, if you have somebody who just walks in and says, hey, I don't think that I would qualify for genetic testing. I don't have much family history, but I just want it. There are some companies out there that'll cover it for around $250.
But if somebody, like what we've talked about, this family history, and here we go filling out the survey, and it, I mean...
Oh, yeah. Insurance typically covers at 100%.
Because I'm not trying to be cold about this, but from an insurance perspective, it's going to be a lot easier for them, you know, cost-wise, to have somebody, like you said, who has gotten the test, knows to look for it, is screening for this, and y'all find it, and at Southern Cancer Center, y'all are treating it early. That's a lot less. I mean, I'm not trying to be cold, but it's a lot less money for the insurance company than it is for something that's gone on a long time.
Absolutely. It's much more cost effective that way.
There's your motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So people listening to us right now, that they've a couple of things you said, they go, yeah, we got family history and this and that. And they just come to y'all at Southern Cancer Center and say, what's that process? Just, I want to get genetic testing. Do y'all set an appointment time? What do they do?
They would call the clinic and say that they wanted to have genetic counseling, which is the first step. Because when we talk through the process, obviously we identify the patient and if they're a candidate for testing. But we also talk about the potential implications of those results before they get testing. Because if you have a patient that they don't understand what a positive result might mean long term in their life, you want to talk about that before the testing happens.
Yeah. That's why y'all call it genetic counseling.
Right. And then the testing happens, and then we actually do a post-testing counseling visit where we review the results, what the results mean to that person, and then we talk through what the next steps are.
Seems like a great way to do it, and a concern with people's emotions as well as their health.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You can't just look at one person and say, oh yeah, go get blood drawn, and that's it.
It's not an assembly line where you stick your arm out and there you go.
No, not at all. We want to make sure that the patients understand what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Pretty fantastic what y'all are doing. Once again, website or phone number, best way to get more info?
Our phone number is 251-625-6896. That directs you to our main clinic line. And if you just get in touch with somebody there and tell them you want genetic counseling or testing, they know what to do from there.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming by again.
Thank you for having me.
Skylar Barton with Southern Cancer Center, and we'll be right back.